Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Well, welcome to another Parents Culture Parents Network. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I'm going to promise you another wonderful and great show this evening. You know, again, I had the pleasure of listening to a show, a conference call about an hour ago. Mothers of Athletes had another wonderful, great conference call. If you're in their area or if you just want to team up with some moms that are doing some great things around the country, you may want to look them up. Check out their website, Mothers of Athletes, and check them out. And if they're area, they'll be a great organization to team up with, as well as teaming up with the Parents Coach the Parents Network, as always. Well, folks, I can't start my show without first doing my man, Mr. Keith Wright. And Keith put this little piece together for us, and we play it each and every time. So, Keith, where you at?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
All right, you know, like my man, Mr. Keith Wright, just said, he's making smart cool, And, you know, in a situation like that, hey, I can't fault him for that. Cannot fault him for that, because when you're making smart cool, when you're taking the opportunity to get your education and make the best out of it because somebody else is paying for it, hey, you know, win-win-win situation. You win. The university wins, and now your community wins because they have another great product out there that is capable of doing some things and becoming a effective leader within the community, an effective leader within the community. Well, folks, I'm hoping to be joined by some young men tonight. And, you know, I've known a couple of them for a few years now. I've watched a few of their careers grow and prosper. One of them I've known and actually had a chance to work with for a while there and, you know, see his passion and his drive towards trying to get the best and do the best thing with and through our children and for our children. And especially our young men and some of these at-risk, as they like to say, communities. And I, you know, me personally, I don't like using that term because at-risk is not something I like to try to define our children as being in a community of at-risk. So I try to stay away from that term. But he focuses on doing some great things for the kids in our community. You know, earlier I touched on that I had an opportunity to sit in on another conference call with the Mothers of Athletes, And they have teamed up with some of the other organizations out there. And, you know, I say this, and hopefully we all can get on the same page, or we all can work towards a common goal. You know, with the number of professional and organizations out there, booster clubs and all the other organizations out there that are supporters and advocates for our children, whether or not your child is at the recreation level or whether or not your child is at the professional level. Man, do we ever see the impact that we can make on the sporting industry as a unified front? And I'm not saying that we have to have, you know, somebody standing at the top with their chest poked out or whatever, claiming to be the dominant ruler of this huge organization of parents. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying occasionally sitting down on a conference call or sitting down at a conference, live face-to-face conference, an event, and sitting down and just dialoguing about some of the things that we believe that's important to our children, or we believe that's important to the sporting industry as it applies to our children. And understanding that we mustn't waver based upon someone waving a dollar or two in front of our faces. Understanding that if our children are grown and have moved on and are doing bigger and better things in lives, well, we're still part of that parent organization. Understanding that our voice can be the voice of reasoning for that next group of parents that's coming behind us. Understanding that we can make that huge impact. Oh, hold on a second. Let me pause for a second, and I'm going to go to a commercial, and then I'm going to come right back. Let me jump out here because I have to take care of something real quick.
Jim Boeheim, the Bitter Gang Syracuse, is under investigation. He is such a cheater, just like with Bernie Fine.
You, of course, mean the Bernie Fine situation where the accusations turned out to be false.
Yes, but this CBS sports story is bad.
Do they have any specific allegations in the story?
Nope, but they see Syracuse is breaking every rule in the manual.
Who says?
A person who does not want to be identified.
Someone rock solid. How bad can it be? North Carolina invented a course for its basketball players to take and was not punished.
But has a sexual assault allegation that the university covered up.
If they covered it up, how do you know about it?
Because they avoided punishment because they were basketball players.
So the fact that a Graham Just and Syracuse's Judicial Review Board both said the players were innocent just screams cover up.
Syracuse is a dirty program.
Dirty enough to buy Anthony Davis. That is right, they had a commitment from Anthony Davis, then he chose Kentucky mysteriously. But Syracuse cheats.
You are bitter. Are you some conspiracy theorist?
Two stories break in two consecutive years 2 days before the NCAA tournament. I am sure that happens to everybody.
You are a hater.
Yes, I am a hater of crappy journalism.
Well, folks, again, that was a little quick piece. I had to step away for a hot second, and I figured I'd plug that in real quick. Needed to take care of something, and I'm back. But like I was saying before I stepped away, you know, having a number of organizations have an opportunity to sit down at the table and realizing that our word still has value and the outcome. Our word still has value in the future of many children that are coming out of our community. You know, with that piece alone, sharing our insight, our wisdom, our understanding of boarding industry, as we have all probably have had our own experiences, but these are things that must be shared with other parents. When I say parents, it's other parents, because, you know, other parents are going through some of the same thing. Again, our children may not still be playing at the middle school, at the recreation middle school, the high school level, or even at the college level. But the experiences that we have had over the years may help another young man, another young lady, another parent, single parent, two family home parent, two parent household. Let me slow down here, get myself together. It may help them out tremendously. And that's what I think it's all about. That's what I think it's all about. Because if we sit back and we look at it from simply from the standpoint of, you know, my child got his and now he's taking care of me and I got mine and I'm sitting here in this big house and, you know, he gets me whatever I need and I go wherever I need to go when I need to go. Come on, parents. In the end, is that what it's really all about? Because if that's what it's really all about, then that may come back and haunt you at some point in time. Hate to say it that way, but that's the reality of it. That may be something that may come back and haunt you at some point in time. The greatest thing that you have, the greatest gift that you can share, the greatest opportunity that you can exploit is simply being of service. Being of service, understanding that your service is priceless, as they say on television, priceless. You know, you providing that insight, that wisdom, that knowledge, that mentoring for another parent that is in a similar situation or a like situation that you have previously been exposed to. Wow. Wow. Can you say priceless? Because in the end, that is exactly what we have. We have a priceless situation. I would love to see at some point in time all of these organizations have a chance to have a sit down. You know, start out by doing a conference call. Start out by possibly doing a webinar and each organization presenting his or her take on what they're doing and what their purpose is, just giving an overview of that organization and work towards having a conference. Because, again, folks, this impacts our children at a huge, huge stage in their life. When our children are trying to get a true sense of direction, coming out of high school, becoming fine young adults, moving into adulthood, getting to the point where at some point in time they are comfortable enough to remove themselves from our household. No, I shouldn't say that. But at some point in time, they get to the point where they are comfortable enough in what they're doing to remove themselves from, you know, our household and move out. a true sense of direction is being established, where, you know, they can benefit from it. And if they choose to benefit from it, then that would be oh so great. That would be oh so great. But we are not doing anything if we, as adults that have experience, you know, that have experienced some situations, are not sharing our insight with other parents. You know, I came up with a acronym, and I don't know if this acronym has been used before, but I look at, you know, I often throw the hashtag on Parents Coaching Parents, and then I put a hashtag on my Twitter, and I've now started to do it on other little pieces of correspondence when sending it out. And I put this hashtag BEAADVOCATE, Be A Advocate, which stands for Be An Advocate. But I didn't want to put Be An Advocate because of the simple fact that if I put BEANADVOCATE, then it would sound like it would say bean advocate, and we're not being advocates for beans, but I want to be, you know, be an advocate. Be an advocate for your child. Be that huge voice for your child. But I came up with an acronym for the word advocate, and somebody chime in today and give me your thoughts on it, and give me your thoughts. I'd love to hear your thoughts, but for the word advocate, as we look at it from the parents' to the parents' perspective, the word advocate could be adults dedicating valuable time to our children, to our child's athletic talent, enthusiastically. Let me rattle that off again because I got a little tongue-tied and everything else when I was trying to make it flow. It says adults dedicating valuable time to our child's athletic talent enthusiastically. Advocate. That's who we are. We are adults dedicating valuable time. But if you're not really dedicating that time, then you really can't consider yourself to be an advocate. But I like to look at that, and actually I think I'm going to coin that phrase and that acronym and start having that placed in print on some of our Parents Coaching Parents T-shirts I'll be coming out here with soon. Because I like that. I like that. I think that is something that really and truly hits home as far as what we as parents should be doing. What we as parents should be doing, especially as it pertains to the sporting industry. And it can pertain to anything that our children are involved in, academically as well. You know, entertainment purposes. You know, if the child is in entertainment business, hey, it can pertain to them as well. But, you know, it is something that we as parents have to stay focused around. And I go on to say all this about the point of having an opportunity to connect with the various groups around the country and identifying where all the groups are. And these groups, at some point in time, having a chance to sit down and we all dialogue together, or, you know, these groups working for one common goal, you know, and doing all the charitable things and, you know, all the other little things, the social things, and, you know, the walks and the marches and, you know, the charity events. Hey, that's just the bread and butter. But where we actually get down to some real substance, it's understanding that organizations such as, and I'm going to just put it out there, such as the NCAA, you know, if they're really and truly not looking out for the best interests of the children, and we having all this controversy and not really understanding where they come from or what is their mission and what their true perspectives are, then we need to call them out. And calling them out as a group is a lot better than me sitting here on the radio, folks, just bumping my gums from time to time on various issues. So I like what, you know, the ladies had this evening, had a great conference call. Mothers of Athletes had a great conference call, and they, as always, share some great insight on things that they, you know, talks about it and they address. But I'm getting back to my point again as far as having all these groups coming together at some point in time, understanding that we all have a common goal, and our common goal being advocates for our children. You know, being an advocate for our children. And like I said, I gave you what I have coined as being an acronym for the word advocate: adults dedicating valuable time to our child's academic talent enthusiastically. Not because, you know, we're being forced to do it. We're doing it with some enthusiasm. We're being proactive, not reactive. Adults dedicating valuable time to our child's academic talent enthusiastically. And that word, excuse me, I said athletic talent. I just said academic talent. But I meant to say athletic talent. But as we see, it's interchangeable. It's interchangeable. So as a result, the word advocate can fit in either way we want to look at it, for our athletes, or it can fit in for our young academic scholars. But, you know, have an opportunity to have a group of parents that can come together and sit down and dialogue and address some of the issues that our children are faced with day in and day out. You know, could really and truly be a plus for the community, be a plus for young athletes that are coming up behind us. Give us a call this evening if you want to chime in on the conversation at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. If you want to join in on the conversation, again, I'm hoping to have a couple of young men call in that have had very successful careers in sports and at one point in time was a highlighted name in a few communities around the country because these young men have placed themselves on the national stage, you know, in various opportunities. And It's just so funny. It's just so great to see them a couple of days ago. And as we were sitting down talking, I was thinking about some of the things that they have done and some of the things that, you know, how they moved forward and how they were the name of the community and how, you know, not only started out with one cousin, then it trickled down to the next younger brother, and then it trickled down to the next younger cousin. And it was just like a row of them for like 4 or 5 years, it was just like a row of them for like 4 or 5 years that made their name prominent within their community and are very well-respected young men. And as I was talking to them the other day and I was looking at them, and I'm like, okay, all of these young men have went on to do bigger and better things in life and have reached their level of success. And I talk about this, and you know I stress this all the time here on the Parents Go to Parents Network, their level of success. We must share this with our children, parents. We must. It's not an optional thing. It's a must. Must share this with our children. That their level of success is what they have achieved inside. It's not defined by what this individual coach has said or what we as parents have said, you know, of what they have heard from their school teachers or whatever, their level of success is achieved from what they have inside. Now, work with me here. What I'm talking about and what I'm pushing towards and what I have told many young men and young ladies as well, if your level of success, and I've told this to my two sons as well, if your level of success is only to achieve or be equal to where I have reached my point in life, then you have failed. I hate to put it so plainly, so bluntly, but then you have failed. And that's what I tell them. Because your quest and your level of success has to start from, not optional, has to start from where I stop moving forward. Say, for example, I went to school, I attended school, I did my thing in the military, of course, graduated from high school, working on completing my bachelor's. Okay. My sons cannot start below that level. They have to start above that level. From that level forward is where they start. And as long as they know that, then we're all right. So that's what I press and push on to young athletes and share with parents, that your level of success starts from within, long as you know where your starting point is at. And we as parents must be able to share that thought or at least something to put out that true sense of direction for our kids so that they know where they're starting at and what they must achieve to reach their individual level of success. And that's why I was so honored to be able to listen in on the call today with the mothers of athletes and how they talked about different things and how different parents came out with questions and how other folks were able to chime in and answer those questions. That dialogue must continue. The same thing that we do at the Parents Coach Parents Network. On Tuesday night, I'll be speaking to a group of parents. A couple weeks ago, I spoke to a group of parents. Last month, I traveled out and had to speak with a group of parents, and I share that same information with them. Once we obtain this information, once we achieve this understanding of what this sporting industry is all about, we must continue to share this with other parents. So therefore, they will be able to share this with their children and share this with the next group of parents that come up behind them. So when I was on the call today and I was listening to Mothers of Athletes and they said they have connected with a couple other groups, I was like, okay, finally somebody reached out and connected with those groups, and hopefully at some point in time we all can have one huge and great dialogue and just get a basic understanding of where everybody's at and understanding that we all may have the same common goal. And I know we're all doing our own individual things in different parts of the country and that kind of stuff, but at the same time making sure that we all have one common goal, and that being to not only share our insight and our views and values with other parents that are coming up behind us, but also making sure that our children are going to get the best out of every situation as they move forward with their lives. Again, folks, if you want to chime in on the conversation, you can reach us at 917-889-8095. Hit option 1. Once you call in, that'll let me know that you're in the queue and you have a question or you just want to talk about something today. I'm hoping to have some callers call in here. Like I said, I talked to some young men just a couple of days ago, and I was hoping to hear from them this evening. These young men, again, I think they have a very impressive story. And the reason why I keep saying young men, because it's three of them, they're cousins. Each one of them, I've watched them and heard about them. And when I first got to the area, I started hearing about them. And, I went out and checked them out and seen other kids coming up behind them and other kids trying to emulate them and, just kids just trying to follow in their footsteps, and that in itself was great to see, because you know you had a starting point, you had somewhere where you had some a young man that was going to motivate you to do something that they're trying to do. Well, folks, like I said, I'm going to step away for a second here, and there's a couple of quick, you know, just little blasts here, and then we're going to come right back, and once we come right back, we'll finish up our conversation.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Jim Boeheim, the Data Game Seer, is under investigation. He is such a cheater, just like with Bernie Fine.
You, of course, mean the Bernie Fine situation where the accusations turned out to be false.
Yes, but this CBS sports story is bad.
Do they have any specific allegations in the story?
Nope, but they see Ricky's is breaking every rule in the manual.
Who says?
A person who does not want to be identified.
Someone rock solid. How bad can it be? North Carolina invented a course for its basketball players to take and was not punished,
but has a sexual assault allegation that the university covered up.
If they covered it up, how do you know about it?
Because they avoided punishment because they were basketball players.
So the fact that a Graham Just and Syracuse's Judicial Review Board both said the players were innocent just screams cover up.
Syracuse is a dirty program.
Dirty enough to buy Anthony Davis. That is right, they had a commitment from Anthony Davis, then he chose Kentucky mysteriously. But Syracuse cheats.
You are bitter. Are you some conspiracy theorist?
Two stories break in two consecutive years 2 days before the NCAA tournament. I am sure that happens to everybody.
You are a hater.
Yes, I am a hater of crappy journalism.
You know, although that's just somebody's entertainment piece, I like listening to you know some of the thoughts and theories of how these folks come up with what's going on out here with some of these schools. But you know, and all in all, that there are some questions going on at some of these institutions. And again, it goes back to us as parents understanding where our role is as our children move forward from middle school to high school to college level sports. You know, what is our role? How much involvement do we have? You know, I've heard the term, and I spoke about the term here on the show a few times, helicopter parents and all this whole kind of stuff. And they talk about parents that's hovering over their children and don't allow their children to do this and do that. No, I look at that from the standpoint of a parent being concerned, a parent being there and being involved to make sure that some fast-talking college coach, which we all know are professional used car salesmen, going to very quickly be able to say what they want to say to some young child that has no clue. And as we know, these coaches are professional salesmen. And if we're not involved in the conversation, if we're not letting the coach know that we will be monitoring the conversation, you know, at a distance, of course, then a lot of times they take these kids for granted and promise these kids some pipe dreams and not able to fulfill those wishes or those dreams. Why is it that a number of our young kids have went to school over the years and the graduation rates in colleges are looking so bad? You know, how is it that UConn, as previous national champions, you know, and several different cases, ended up having such a poor graduation rate? And that's not just something that I'm sitting here making up. You know, we got to think about the post-conference play, post-season play, when UConn had to sit out due to not meeting the graduation rates. You know, so national champion. How many other situations have came up and it just has not been revealed? Parents, we have a mission. We have a goal. We have a situation where we have to be involved. We have to be involved. You know, I was reading an article recently written by Bill Roden. I had the opportunity to meet Bill a few years back when he first came out of his book, $40 Million Slave, Rise and Redemption of Black Athletes. But it was a little point in here that Bill made in his article, and I'm trying to scroll through it. Trying to scroll through it real quick. And he talks about how for a 21-year-old, and now we're talking about a 21-year-old that's going from college trying to get into the professional ranks. For a 21-year-old, the process of choosing an agent can be overwhelming, especially when it's intensified by financial needs. You know, if we look at simple stuff like that, you know, simple stuff like that, such as, you know, a child already coming from a household that, you know, has had some financial challenges, and now you are in the process of trying to pick a agent to represent your child. And I think Everett said it best last week in the conversation. Half the time, you know, our children don't know how to go out and pick agents, and we as parents don't have a clue of how to get out there and pick agents. You know, we go based upon what we believe is that person that has the best access. But we're looking at a 21-year-old, and how can a 21-year-old realistically get out there and process or put together the best choices for picking an agent. And I know I kind of sidetracked, but I think it was best that I touch on this real quick. But how they go along and pick an agent. You know, a lot of times our kids will pick an agent based upon they thinking that agent has that type of access. I know, like I said a second ago, Everett's point last week. And what I mean by access, meaning that the agent tells the young man or tells us, you know, tries to hint to the family that he has talked to this team about your son. He has talked to that team about your son. You know, and when we hear that information, we as parents, we take it in and we say, hey, that's great. Oh, that's awesome. Wow. You know, my son is being looked at by this team. Well, in a hard slap in the face, and Everett hit me with it last week, with a hard slap in the face, he just flat out told me that, you know, in a situation like that, that agent is now lying to you. And let me clean it up a little bit. He's fabricating the truth. he's doing a little fabrication there. He's slightly embellishing, you know, some of the facts there. And what I mean by that is if your child is high-profile, potential All-American candidate, you know, big conference, you know, one of the big five conferences, and he's really a standout in that conference, and the media buzz is all around him. Of course, now you'll have some conversation. But at the same time, teams that may be looking at your child, be it football, basketball, because we're normally strictly talking about those two major sports, be it football or basketball, the teams that are normally looking at your child is going to hold that information, that proprietary information for that particular team. They don't want to leak out that they're planning on picking this child at this particular time because guess what? If they leak that information out, then another team will probably grab their child ahead of you, ahead of that team. So they hold on to their proprietary information. Any of us as parents that understand business understand the value of proprietary information. That is something that the company will hold on to. That is their level of classified information. So for an agent to come out and say, well, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but Jay, I just talked with the general manager for such and such team, and he's really high on your son, or tell your child, yeah, he's really high on you, and we're going to have conversations later on. So now you believe that this agent has access to folks of that level. Not, because that information, again, is proprietary information. Because just imagine if an agent had that type of information and he's running around, he's spewing it out every time he gets a chance. At some point in time, let's look at the NFL draft. You'll be able to figure out every kid that that particular team is now looking at and what positions they're trying to fill. You think other teams around them or other teams that are competing against them is not going to try to interrupt that flow or counter? Proprietary information, folks. Proprietary information. So let's get back to talking about the college coaches. College coaches will come in and they'll sit down and they'll do the song and dance and tap dance and tell you everything that you want to hear. But I tell every parent that I come across, ask this question. Ask the question of what happens if my child gets injured? If my child falls down and breaks his leg like we've seen the young man, Kevin Ware, a few years ago and Paul George here recently at the U.S. game, and fall down and break their leg, and it's not on national television, does that terminate his or her scholarship if you're no longer able to use that child to participate in your contest? I'd be willing to bet any coach that you sit down and talk to is not going to answer that question. You know, I was on the call with Mothers of Athletes, and we have a nice little dialogue on stipends that they're considering and talked about the top five conferences and how they're looking at this stipend issue. You know, we've talked about the stipend issue here on the Parents Coach Parents Network several times through. But as I understood the conversation this evening, and we was getting some good firsthand information from an attorney that's representing some folks out there and have had some extensive dialogue with folks connected to the NCAA as well as the NCAA and some of the folks within some of the Big Five conferences as well. You know, the Big Five conferences have brought it to the table in their recent meeting here this past January about this stipend. Now, my problem with that and my question with that and my very sincere interest with that, and we as parents, I think we need to take this on and really consider this. You have the Big Five conferences, and we know who they are, okay? And, you know, everybody from the ACC all the way through to Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever they call themselves nowadays, SEC, you know, and to include Notre Dame, you know, these big five conferences. Now, if they're out here and they're able to offer a stipend in the ballpark of $4,000 to $5,000, but the other conferences are not able to offer that, will they realistically hold that information and that information come out on the end once the child is actually in school, or will they use that as a marketing tool to draw that child in? And if for whatever reason, if that information, if that stipend or the use of the likeness, you know, for video games or whatever it is that they have out there, if that information or if that fund or those funds are put away, you know, upon graduation, what happens if the child transferred? Do those funds transfer with the child? You know, there's a lot of questions that we as parents will need to dig into once this information is made public. There was some good information put out there as far as websites, and it talked about the, you know, the Ed O'Bannon class action lawsuit. Any child that has played before, you know, on or before 2014, you know, and go all the way back to during the time that Ed played. Ed played in the late 90s. So, you know, you still have opportunity to join in on that class action lawsuit. But even with that and talking about stipend of if your child is used, you know, and I forgot how she phrased it. The young lady that was talking about it, likeness, you know, talking about the likeness and of your child in one of these video games, and those funds are made available as a stipend to your child, and your child decides to transfer for whatever reason, does those funds transfer with your child? And will you know about those funds during the whole time period? Is that some information that's going to be made available up front? You know, these are the type of questions that we as parents should ask from time to time. You know, these are the type of questions that, you know, like I said, if your child gets hurt, if your child incurs a huge medical bill for whatever reason, who covers that medical bill? Does the institution cover that medical bill? Does the NCAA cover that medical bill? You know, I was trying to find an article that I was reading just recently, and it talks about the amount of money that the television networks paid. Television networks paid the NCAA for, you know what? I think I printed that out. Television networks paid the NCAA for the covering of March Madness. And it was an astronomical figure, but it covered a time period of 14 years. And if I'm not mistaken, total amount was in the billions of dollars. Yes, I did say billions with a B. It's in the billions of dollars. And as a result, and I'm trying to look through some paperwork that I had here, trying to see if I can come across that little piece that I don't have it with me. But like I was saying, I do remember some of the figures. And it was in the billions of dollars. And it worked out to the NCAA would collect, if you took it and you divided up the amount that they had, the amount that they was going to receive. And I can very quickly do that on my calculator here. If you took the amount that they were going to receive, they were going to receive $10 billion. And the only reason why I know that number, because I remember each year they will receive $771 million a year. $771 million a year, folks, the NCAA will receive from the television companies for airing March Madness. Okay. $771 million. You have 65 schools that's involved in March Madness. And all of the schools are not going to make it to the highest levels of the tournament. But do all schools get paid the same, or do you ration it off so that the schools that make it higher in the tournament receive more? Okay, benefit of the doubt. On an average, if each school receives $10 million, 65 times 10 million, we're only talking about $650 million. $650 million, folks. Do I sound like I'm rambling right now? I hope not. Talk about some real facts here. Because that $650 million, you minus that from that $771 million, you'll still come up with $121 million that goes to the NCAA. When I heard earlier that the NCAA didn't get a whole lot of funds or don't receive a whole lot of from these television contracts, these contracts aren't going directly to the conferences. These contracts are not going directly to the schools. These contracts, and I would like to see the language on that, I believe these contracts are funneled through the NCAA. So paying each school that enters the conference, that enter the tournament, $10 million. And if you juggled it around a little bit, some may get $15 million. Some may get $20 million. You know, some may get $2, $3 million based upon being bumped out at the first round or whatever. Some may get $5 million, you know, as you, you know, go on and prorate it as they move higher in the tournament. At the end of the day, the NCAA will still come out with $121 million. To the good. Even if they gave each institution, or if you had 66 schools, or even if they gave each one of them $11 million, even if they gave each one of them, let's see, if they gave each one of them $15 million. Each gave them $15 million. Think they would still come out. No, they will be over that $771 million. So, they have figured it out. And it's funny because I heard Jay Billis say this, and I think Jay's a very resourceful young man and very knowledgeable in this area, how he how he mentioned how the president of the NCAA, current president, who went from making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year to a couple million dollars a year, how his pay has jumped up tremendously. That's a question in itself. If this is a nonprofit organization, if this organization is not, you know, drawing in any major revenue, then how are you able to pay this guy more than you're paying some of the institution presidents, chancellors? I'm still stunned. How? How? Well, folks, we're about at the point where we're starting to wind down on time. I know I've touched on some very interesting things. I want to go back and highlight a few things. I'm kind of saddened by not having our guest call in this evening. I know the young man would have brought some great insight on some of their life experiences. I'm going to work hard towards getting them in and getting them in on the show and just hearing from them. You know, it's always great to hear from some young athletes. I heard from one of my boys just the other day, Frank Hassell, who played at the University, Old Dominion University. He is now playing over in Turkey, just sharing some of the things that he's thinking about doing once he comes back here to the States. And just some of the things that he's thinking about doing after the ball stops bouncing. And I applauded him for that. We had a great little one-hour conversation with him. That was a special show I did last Thursday with him. And he called in from Turkey, so we did an early show. But it was just great to hear from him and some of his lessons learned and how he has matured and he's moving on with things bigger and better in his life. But I want to recap on some of the things that I talked about this evening, talking about how we as different organizations throughout the country can at some point in time get together, dialogue, and realize that we do have a common goal, and that common goal being what's ever in the best interest of our children, understanding that we must be advocates for our children. I go on to coin the phrase advocate, advocate being adults dedicating valuable time to our child's athletic talent enthusiastically or academic talent enthusiastically. Either way it goes, folks, it still fits the mold and something that we as parents must add on our plate as far as being supporters and guiders and nurturers of our children. It's not an optional thing, folks, not an optional thing. You know, I speak from the heart each and every time I put this out there that parents have to do our part. Our children are doing what they're doing in the classroom and doing what they're doing on the field or on the court. So we as parents have to do our part. You know, I say each and every week, we'll be back again next week at 9:30 every Sunday night here on the Blog Talk Radio, Parents Culture Parents Network. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at PCP Network. And from time to time, I may even try to get on Instagram and post something at PCP Network as well. But if you are a parent and you're out there and you have some problems or you have some concerns or, you know, you are struggling getting through this recruiting process and don't quite understand where to start, what's next, or whatever, please understand that there are thousands of parents that's out there that's willing to help you. We just all have to connect, folks. We just all have to work on, again, doing what we do best, being advocates for our children, being that buffer, being that person that's helping guide the next group of young leaders to their level of success. This has been M.A. Scott, folks, and we've been here talking for the last hour. We're about to wind down. So we haven't had any callers, and I hope that you have picked up something from our conversation, and we love to hear from you each and every week when you call in and check us out. So on that note, I hope it's been fun. It's been fun. It's been real fun. And until next week, we'll see you later. This has been the Parents Coach Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
All right, take us away, Keith.
¶¶